So we're going to begin. So we began we're in the middle of a bit of an introduction regarding the mitzvah saseh and the mitzvah lo saseh of Shabbos. what we've done so far is we discussed the fact that Shabbos appears multiple times in the Torah, at least 12 different times according to the Rambam's count. There are different ways to count these things, but that's not for now. We then discuss the question of what the significance of that is. No one counts Shabbos 12 times in the Minyan Taryag. That's the point that the Rambam wanted to make in Shoresh Tes when he makes that Ha'ara. The question is, so why does the Torah speak about Shabbos so many times? Are other important topics which are spoken of much less than 12 times? And the question is, what is the purpose of these multiple treatments? So we discussed various models, various possible or plausible explanations about why the Torah would speak so frequently about a single theme. So one of the possibilities that we were discussing, most prominent, let's say, was either this is a question of emphasis and reinforcement, which is usually a consequence of importance, and or overcompensation, or just importance and the need to preclude any kind of misconception because the stakes are very high. That's one possible explanation. The other option is that basically the Torah speaks multiple times about a topic because it's a multidimensional topic. There are different aspects of it. And therefore, by treating it in different contexts, against different developments, in different partios, with different emphases, the Torah is able to project that the topic in question, in this case Shabbos, is really about more than one issue, or that it affects differently. Application. So, for example, if we speak about Shabbos, Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, with all of that implies, and that's what we speak about in Parshas Bereishis, and that's what we speak about in the Aseres HaDibros, we get a very different perspective on Shabbos when we speak about it as Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. If we speak about Shabbos in connection with the historical Briyas HaOlam, we get a very different perspective when we speak about Shabbos as the beginning of the treatment of the Mod. And that's really basically what we began with. From there, we proceeded to note that the Torah speaks about Shabbos both positively and negatively. Torah uses expressions like Shabbason and Tishbo and Tishmor, possibly Zachar, if that really is a reference to to this broader idea, which certainly the Ramban in Parshas Yisro thinks that it is. So the Torah speaks about Shabbos actively and positively, meaning there's something that you're supposed to do on Shabbos, and that is remember or rest. Again, resting sounds like something that is Sheval Tasa, that is passive, but sometimes you have to be proactive, right, to reach even a passive state. For example, if you're in the middle of something, so you have to cease and desist before you're in a state of Sheval Tasa. Anyways, the important thing to understand is that the Torah speaks using different language, and that may be important as well. It speaks about Shabbos as if it's a mitzvah saseh, as if it's a positive commandment. And then, of course, the Torah speaks about Shabbos as a prohibition, as a transgression. Lo sasa kol melacha being, of course, the most famous in the Aseres HaDibros. Shabbos is a transgression. Melacha on Shabbos is a transgression. There are 39 avos melacha, and it's not just any transgression. It's a very severe transgression. It's one which shigigaso chatas, for a shgaga, for a mistake, which we'll discuss, if not today, then certainly next week. You bring a korban chatas, and if you do it to b'mezid, you violate in such a way that you're chayiv kares and skila. So it's a capital crime. That's part of the law of Shabbos. So what we began to discuss last week is what is the relationship between the mitzvah saseh of shvisa b'Shabbos and the mitzvah lo saseh and the prohibition to do malacha on Shabbos. Are they identical or not? What we saw is that, number one, there seems to be a debate whether there is a mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. There's one view, at least, the Maram's view, his explanation of Tosis and Shabbos of Kuf Lamed Beis, that suggests that there really is no mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. That's a sensational view. You'd have to interpret the psukim in the Torah that seem to say otherwise. It has to be referring to other things. But at least as far as Isra Malacha is concerned, maybe there's an obligation of Zechira, of making Kiddush, but as far as activities to do or not to do on Shabbos, there's at least one view that there is no mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. We find a parallel view with regard to Yom Tov, but that, you know, isn't necessarily the same as applying to Shabbos. That's on Tosfos on Kotei Amud Aleph. If you have it here on the last page, on page 4, the last Tosfos Masechet Shabbos Kotei Amud Aleph, if you look at go to the, you know, one earlier, Eimad Likin Shemen Sreifa B'Yom Tov. Right, you're not supposed to burn Truma Tmeya. Shemen Sreifa is Shemen that was Truma that's supposed to be burned because it's Truma Tmeya. You're not supposed to do that on, even though you're supposed to burn Truma Tmeya, but you're not supposed to do it on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Eimad Likin Mitzrayim, they cover a Shabbos, and so on. So the Gemara says, Gemara is on line 20. By time, Lefishein Sarfin Kadshim B'Yom Tov. Truma Tmeya has a status of equivalent to that of Kadshim, and you're not supposed to burn Kadshim on Yom Tov, and therefore you're not supposed to burn Truma Tmeya, which is a mitzvah. You're not supposed to fulfill that particular mitzvah on Yom Tov. Minonimili, Amar Chizkia V'Chein Tana D'Bei Chizkia Amar Kra V'Los Asiru Menu Ad Boker V'Anosa Mimenu Ad Boker. Shein tam lomar ad boker, ma tam lomar ad boker, ba kasev litein la boker, shein ilisrei pasuk. So there's a limud, there's a pasuk that teaches you that you're not supposed, even kachin that is supposed to be burnt, is not supposed to be burnt on Yom Tov. Abay amar omar kra, olas Shabbat b'Shabbato, right, below olas chol b'Shabbos. It's supposed to, you know, engage in the requirements of the korban Shabbos on Shabbos. But it's not a korban chol. You don't take care of the requirements of a korban chol on Shabbos. Another limud. Fine. V'lo laschol b'yom tov. Same, neither on Shabbos nor yom tov. Rav Amar. Amar krahu levado yaseh lachem. Pasuk in bo. That hetzer ochol nefesh. It's a pasuk there says osasa kol malacha. But ach asher yachel lachol nefesh. Hu levado yaseh lachem. However, wherever you need for the purposes of ochol nefesh, there is a hetzer. So who, right, velo machshirin, levado velo, mila shalom mitzvano. And so on, to osir v'kal v'chomer. Okay, another limud. Then the Gemara says, Ravashi Amar, Ravashi has a different limud. It says, Shabbason asay. Bahavle yom tov asay velo sasay. Vein asay docha lo sasay v'asay. That the reason that you're not allowed to burn kadshim, that's supposed to be burnt, in other words, where it's a mitzvah to burn it, or Shemen, or Truma Tmeo, which is a mitzvah to be burnt. The reason you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov is because that's a mitzvah saseh. But the Sreifa is a mitzvah slo saseh, and a mitzvah saseh. And the rule is that Ein Aseh, Doche, Lo Saseh, V'Aseh. A positive commandment can override a negative commandment, but not both a negative commandment and a positive commandment. It certainly makes a lot of sense. So what Tosfos says is the next little marmakom is Tosfos. Tosfos says, "Havale yom tov asay v'im tomer hanachamaroi delel the savri diyontif los asay greida neilif mehacha delo dachi asay es los asay ki aygav neparach perakamidi vamos v'shem mikan lo neilif ishiyachal asas achar yom tov." So basically, this Tosfos is discussing what is the view of the other Amoraim in the Gemara. And basically what he's saying is that there seems to be a debate whether or not there's a mitzvah saseh on Yom Tov or not. In other words, do you say that you know, the reason you can't, if you, according to Ravashi, the reason that you can't burn Truma Tmeya or Kadshim Yom Tov is because Ein Aseh Docha Lo Saseh V'Aseh. But the other Amoraim apparently felt that that was not a proper solution to this problem. And the question is why? So Tosfos assumes that's because they felt that there is no independent mitzvah saseh on Yom Tov. Or maybe we need to fine-tune this a little more. This is questionable. There's no mitzvah saseh on Yom Tov, or at least the saseh of Yom Tov does not include Isur Malacha. That just doesn't include the Lamites Avos Malacha. And that's the debate between the Amoraim. Therefore, according to them, there is no circumstance of Aseh against Los Aseh V'Aseh. That's why they're asking the question, well, how can there be Exeris HaKasuv? What happened to the rule of Aseh, Doche, Los Aseh, as long as there isn't an additional Aseh? So in the context of Yom Tov, just to make it shorter, in the context of Yom Tov, there's clearly, according to Bali Tosas, a debate among the Amoraim whether or not violating Lamites Avos Malachos of Yom Tov triggers a bittul aseh or not. But is there something parallel with regard to Shabbos? And if not, then why this discrepancy between Shabbos and Yom Tov? That'll leave for the moment. Maybe we'll get back to that, but I think it's all connected. But the point is that the Maram in Tosas in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Beis, again, I copied the Maram here, but I did copy the Tosas. I'm not going to read it right now, but I'll show you which one it is. It's the, I think I have it here. Yeah, Kuf Lamed Beis. Omud Beis. It's a similar context. It's on top of page 3, right, starting from line 4. It's a similar context. It's a Tosas that discusses, Mila, B'Shabbos and Saras and so on. And it's really in the constant paragraph, Loza de Mila, it's in the context of discussing, again, this issue of Aseh, Dokalos Aseh, V'Ein Aseh, Dokalos Aseh, V'Aseh. So the Maram, understood, based on what Tosas says, that perhaps Tosas believes that there's no mitzvah Aseh of Shabbos. Just like Tosas said in Shabbos earlier, in Chavdalin on Beis, that there's no mitzvah Aseh of Yom Tov. But that's quite a radical view, because either way you have to explain the psukim. You either have to say that there is a mitzvah say, but it relates to other things other than the lamites avos malacha, which we'll get back to in a moment, or that what sounds like a mitzvah say is either a description or refers to other aspects of Shabbos, like Kavod Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos, Kiddushan Shabbos, etc. But it doesn't refer to things that are permissible or prohibited on Shabbos, which is basically what we're talking about in the context of Aseh Dochalos Aseh V'en Aseh Dochalos Aseh V'aseh. So there is a possibility that there is no mitzvah Aseh of Shabbos, but as I say, we have to work hard to get that to register that as a shita with regard to Shabbos. With regard to Yom Tov, a little less hard, and I say that in itself is significant. There are other Rishonim who probably think that there is a mitzvah saseh on Shabbos, but who don't count it in minyan mitzvos. That we noted as well. That's the smak, the sefer mitzvos katan, in his minyan mitzvos counts a lav and not an aseh. Now that is not as radical, because basically that has to do with the methodology of counting 613 mitzvos. If you assume that we don't count every mitzvah, but we only count the ones that are, unique, singular, that we haven't already counted, so it's quite possible that as far as things like Aseh Dochalos Aseh, that it's something qualifies as an Aseh, but we're still not going to count it independently in the Minyan Taryag if we already count the lot. There, the question is a dual one. The question is, number one, what is the actual substantive relationship between the Aseh and the lot? Are they the same? Are they covering the same territory and in the same way or not? And if the answer is yes, then there's a second question about minyan mitzvos, and that is, does minyan mitzvos count as long as there is a lav, as long as there is an aseh, or only lav and an essen, right, that contribute, something new to the count? And that's, if you already have it as a lav or as an aseh, you're not going to have it twice. Then the question will be, which one should you count it as? Should you count it as a lav? Should you count it as an aseh? So we already noted that the smak only counts a lav, and Rav Sajagon only counts an aseh. And I was suggesting that you know, while they share something in common, they don't, neither of them believe that there are two different themes here. They believe that there's one. It's very possible that they still engage in a very critical debate. And that is that Reb Sajiko, by counting the mitzvah say, is coloring all of Shabbos in very positive hues. He's basically saying that Shabbos is all a kiyum. It's all a fulfillment. You know, we emphasize so much the violation, the transgression. The answer is not abstaining from malacha, not embracing the opportunity of spending Shabbos, you know, properly in the positive sense, is neglecting a spiritual opportunity to such an extent, squandering the opportunity in such a way that it triggers a punishment. Doing this positively, you know, is so indispensable for Jewish life that ignoring it is something that incurs punishment as well. That's a chiddush, but that's how you'd want to explain it. Whereas the smak may be saying the exact opposite, and that is, it's true there's a mitzvah saseh of Shabbos, but that mitzvah saseh just reminds us, you know, to be really careful about not transgressing, not violating. It's all about not violating. The abstaining in the positive is a way of ensuring that we do not incur the onesh based on violating as an infraction. So these are two perspectives. However, most Rishonim, the Chinuch, the Smag, the Rambam, count both. They count the Naseh and they count the Losaseh. So the question now is that just because in Minyan Mitzvot, if there are two, we count them? And then the question is, and how does that stack up to the question of the debate between the Rambam and Ramban? Let's say you have two Labin that seem to be identical, or two Essen that are identical. Would you treat two Labin in the same way that you would treat one Asay and one Lab of the same topic? You can imagine that, you know, you could draw the line, you can make a distinction. Maybe having a positive and a negative expression is not superfluous. Having two negatives or two positives, that's superfluous. So that's one issue. The second issue is maybe they're really counted twice because there really are two different themes. Now, how would we go about determining whether there are two different themes? So the easiest way is to figure out if there are differences, halachic differences. If we can chart differences, if we can establish that there's material in the Aseh and not in the Lav, or vice versa, it would be even best if we could show that the Lav includes some components that are not in the Aseh, and the Aseh includes other components that are not in the Lav. That would be the best ever, because that would really show that we're dealing with two different ideas. Two different ideas that, you know, overlap in part, but are completely independent of each other in both directions. Okay, you can't always get what you want. We'll see in a moment that sometimes you can. So, if we can't get that, at least the idea that one would be more expansive than the other would certainly seem to indicate that we're dealing with two different mechaivim, two different themes. So that's the first thing that we would turn our attention to, that we would try to prove. Are there elements in the Aseh and not in the Lav, or the Lav and not in the Aseh? Right. Yeah.
When it comes to Yontif, would there be agreement that there definitely is an Aseh? Because you have Aseh which are unique to Yontif. You have Aliyah L'Regel, you have the Samach with the Chagechol.
Those for sure.
Yeah.
What we're talking about specifically is Malacha. We want to know whether in violating Isur Malacha on Yom Tov, you also violate a mitzvah saseh or not. That there's an aliyah l'regel and a samach, just like on Shabbos, there may be a essen that have nothing to do with malach. I'm talking specifically, if you do bona on Shabbos, or bona on Yom Tov, do you violate only a lav, which you certainly do in both cases, or do you also violate a mitzvah saseh? That's what I'm talking about. That there is aliyah l'regel, that there's shalmei simcha, that there's korban chagiga, no question. But that doesn't prove that if you abstain from bona, that you fulfill a mitzvah saseh, or that if you violate bona, that you mevatel a mitzvah saseh. Neither in Shabbos, nor in Yom Tov. That's really what we're interested in. So the first thing to look at is if there are discrepancies, and if they go in both directions. Absent the ability to prove that there are discrepancies, we still may want to argue that the aseh and the lav represent two different themes, even though, you know, there happen to be no cases where you can distinguish them. Okay. So that's what I want to turn my attention to. We began this last week, and I want to move forward with it this week. What we discussed last week was the most dramatic discrepancy between the lists and the most dramatic extension of either list, and that is drabanans. Right? Normally, just to sum up, normally a drabanan is a drabanan. That doesn't sound very profound, but it's true. Right? There are things that are part of the din d'oraisa, the din Torah of a particular category. Now we're talking about Shabbos. There are Yisurei Shabbos d'oraisa, and then there are many, many drabanans. There are more drabanans in Shabbos than there are d'oraisa, which is not surprising, but it's true. So typically, if we're talking about the minyan and mitzvos and essen and lavin, we're talking about d'oraisas, and drabanans have no place in the discussion. However, there are these midrash halacha, which are the earliest sources that we have in rabbinic literature, right? The contemporary with the Mishnah, in some cases even earlier, the Chilta, the Sifra, and they suggest that if you violate Shabbos or Yom Tov midrabanan, that especially Shabbos, that you will incur, right, the violation of a daraisa, right? Whether it's amir la'akum that they speak about in Parshas Bo, right, in Mechilta, or some other shvusim that are drabanan that are spoken of in the Sifra, or the Gemara that we read last week. We're not going to read it again. And that is the Gemara of Knivas Yerek. That's the Gemara in the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Kufi Dalet in Shabbos basically discusses what happens if on Yom Kippur Shechol Yos B'Shabbos you start to paring down P-A-R-I-N-G, right? In other words, cutting down like the vegetables, which is apparently a shvus d'rabbanan. It's certainly not a malacha d'oraisa. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. The Torah says Shabbaton. Is the Shabbaton simply to teach you that whenever you violate any of the 39 avos malacha, you violate not only a lav, but an aseh as well? Right? Lav arle balavu ba'aseh. So it's a reinforcement. But it doesn't include anything more than it's in one list than the other. In other words, they're echoes of each other, right? Or is it possible that knivas yerek, that shvusim, are included in the aseh, and that's what makes the aseh unique, different than the lav? That's the Gemara. So the Malitosa say that Gemara is an asmachta b'yamo. That Gemara is not to be taken literally. It's just a mnemonic kind of a device or a way of, you know, emphasizing the importance of drabanans, but it's not a din Torah as it sounds. And that's what basically the Ramban said in Parshas Bo regarding the Mechilta. The Ramban in Parshas Bo says, Rashi's quoting this, he's taking it very seriously, but it just cannot be, because we know these things are drabanans, you know, being ola le'ilon, if a person climbs a tree, a person swims or rides an animal, all these we know to be drabanans. If they're drabanans, then they can't be the Torah. There can't be a pasuk in the Torah that's referring to a drabanan. So this is an asmachta b'alma. However, the Rashi in both in Parshas Bo and in the Gemara about Knivas Yerek, and this is what the Ramban came around to in Parshas Emor, suggests that maybe in fact it is to be taken seriously, and that the idea is that there are 39 avos malacha. These are malachos d'oraisa. And in addition to that, there's also a spirit of the day of Shabbos. And that's what the Ramban described almost poetically that we read last week, and that is that, you know, if you have a good Eruv, and, you know, you refrain from certain types of activity, you don't write down, you know, the bills or the, you know, the records, you know, on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, so in theory, you could keep your store open, you could run your banks, right? You'd have deliveries, and there would be nothing that would distinguish the day of Shabbos from any other day. And in fact, this is obviously a very big concern, was then and is even today, in terms of dress, in terms of, you know, recreational activities on Shabbos, etc. So basically, what the Ramban says is there is a ruach. There's a spirit of the day of Shabbos. This is connected to the Ramban's famous view about Kedoshim Tiyu. In fact, in Kedoshim Tiyu, when he says, Al Tehi Naval B'Rishus HaTorah, Rebbe the Ramban says basically the halacha is the beginning and it's the minimum. It's not the end and the maximum. So, you know, of course you can't violate the halacha, but somebody who sticks to the letter of the law, you know, in a very technical way and finds mechanisms really to kind of avoid, you know, the spirit of the law, is violating Kedoshim Tiyu. And then the Ramban says, look what I wrote in Parshas Emor about the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. Because that's exactly what he wrote about Shabbos. You could be scrupulous and meticulous about every one of the lamites of the malacha, and you could still turn Shabbos into a yom kol, or keep Shabbos as a yom kol. And what we really want to do is the opposite. We want, you know, shelo yeh hiluchacha, you know, bechol ki hiluchacha b'Shabbos, right? The daver davar. We want the dibur to be different. We want your, you know, recreation to be different. It's chatzi lachem and chatzi lashem. They're, you know, very enjoyable things that one can do on Shabbos. It's Shabbos, the day of oneg. But still, that should be distinguishable from Yom Chol. The Rambam has a very beautiful description of some of the issues of Muktzah in Perek Chavdalid. I think I didn't put that in on the sheet. Perek Chavdalid, Hilchos Shabbos, where he talks, where he quotes his psukim, you know, from Yeshaya, Karasul Shabbos Oneg, and Lo Yiluchacha, and V'daber Davar. You know, and again, he speaks about, you know, Muktzah, which is a Didrabanan, but he speaks about it as if it's practically a Dindoraisa, because, again, if you allow Tiltul, Kalim, and so on, in theory, you could spend your whole day, you know, focused on material goods and business and so on. And that's not what Shabbos is all about. So that's what the Ramban describes in his Perush al HaTorah. And that's a breakthrough. Basically, the Ramban says, whenever you violate one of the Lama Tesofos Malacha, you, it, by definition, violate not only the law but the Aseh of Shabbos. However, when you do certain Shvusim on Shabbos, you violate the assay, even though you don't violate the law, which basically means that one is more expansive than the other. Then we know that the Rambam in Perek Chaf Aleph, Hilchos Shabbos, sorry, seems to agree with the Ramban and said it earlier than the Ramban, so he gets the credit. And that's the Rambam here in Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Aleph, which is on page 3 and beginning from line 22. Ne'emar b'Torah tishpos. Even things that are do not constitute malacha in the sense of the lamata samas malacha, even they, right, are constitute a violation of shvisa to Shabbos, which is a din Torah. Udvarim harbe, and then he describes many things she'asur chachamim mishum shvus. Behem dvarim asurim b'nei shem domim l'malachos, things that look like malachos. Them dvar masrim gzeir shema yabo behen yisuskilo, some lead to malachos the eluhei. So this perek Chaf Aleph of Hilchos Shabbos and the Rambam is about shvusim, and it's introduced by telling you basically that if you violate certain shvusim, you violate the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. So the Nosei Kelim, many of them quote the Ramban. They say, "Oh, look at the Ramban in Parshas Emor. This is what the Rambam, you know, earlier, you know, means." The problem with that is that if you look earlier on our sheet, and it's also earlier in Hilchos Shabbos, but the problem is, it's not one halacha earlier, it's 20 prakim and some halachos earlier. Perek Aleph Hilchos Shabbos, halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Shvisa v'shvi b'malacha mitzvah saseh, shenemar b'yom ha-shvi tishbos. Abstaining from malacha on the seventh is the mitzvah saseh. What does malacha mean? Lametes avos malacha. The kola osa b'malacha, what does he incur? So basically, this is the Rambam's opening, you know, salvo. This is where he describes what the Aseh and the Los Aseh of Shabbos is. And the question is, how come it took over 20 prakim, right, for him to reveal the big chiddush? It's not like it's a small thing that he forgot to mention, or I forgot, and he mentions it later on. It's hugely significant to understand the relationship between the Aseh and the Lab. If the Aseh includes Drabanan, A, that's a chiddush in its own right. If the Aseh includes elements that are not in the Lab, that's very crucial to understand as well. So what's going on with the Rambam's presentation here, if indeed he means this? Now, there are notes of Kalim who suggest he doesn't mean it, and that what he says in Parakaf Aleph is an asmachta bial. However, I don't think it reads that way, and therefore the question, I think, looms larger. If we look at the Rambam and say for mitzvahs haseh kuf nun dalid, number 26, or beginning of 26, really beginning 28, so we'll see that the Rambam expands the haseh beyond the lab in another way. And again, something that he doesn't mention explicitly in Hilchos Shabbos at all, in terms of this connection. Hamitzvah kuf nun dalid, the 154th mitzvah is, Shetzivanu shenishpos b'Shabbos, so far so good, the obligation of Shvitza b'Shabbos, hu amar yizbarach, hu vayom hashvi tishpos. Fine, that's what the Rambam says in the Koteret, and in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, and Perek Kaf Aleph Halacha Aleph, everything is fine and good. Then he adds, v'hinei nichpal tzivui mitzvah zu pamayim, or, right, it's mentioned more than once, hu bir lanu yisale, and the, you know, explanation in the Torah is Shashvisa min amalachos hichova aleinu, it's our obligation, the al behemteinu the abdeinu b'hinei yizbaru mishpatei mitzvazu b'mechshechas Shabbos u'mechshechas Yom Tov. So the Rambam says something easy to not pick up on its significance, but recording the Aseret HaDibros, basically the Rambam says, by the way, the mitzvah haseh of Shvisa, the Shabbos, isn't just ourselves, it also includes Shvisas Eved and Shvisas Behema. Rab Sajigon counted Shvisas Eved and Shvisas Behema independently as separate mitzvahs. The Rambam includes it in the mitzvah Saseh of Shabbos. What's fascinating is that there's something in the mitzvah Saseh that's not in the mitzvah Saseh, right? And that is consistent with what the Rambam writes in Perek Kaf Aleph, that the essay is more expansive than the lab. Of course, this is not as big a chiddush because we're not talking about the Rabbanim here, we're talking about other satellite Doraisas. But if we're trying to figure out the significance of counting the lav and the assay, or just in general what the relationship is between them, the Rambam's comments here are an important piece in his larger presentation. Okay. On the other side of things, but again, the question remains, why did the Rambam not address this in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph? And certainly the bigger question, why didn't he address Shvusim Drabanan in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph? So we still have to explain that. Beyond this, I mentioned before that, you know, a dream come true might be, being able to prove that the assay is more expansive than the lav, right? But also that the lav may be more expansive than the assay at the same time. Okay. So, do we have that? So there is an interesting discussion about this in the Rajba, which I don't think I printed here. Did I? No. So the Rajba in Yevamos on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Again, Yevamos, Vav, as we've discussed, is the topic of the beginning of Yevamos. We learned it a couple of years ago, but it's in the section of mitzvahs, it's in the section of Ase Dokalos Ase. The Gemara there discusses back and forth. The Gemara starts in the sector with Yibum, right? Yibum is a mitzvah Ase, but there's an Yisrei Shesach, right? So Yibum is an Ase Dokalos Ase Sheyeshbo Karis. And the whole discussion from Dav Gimel Amud Beis in Yevamos till, let's say, Vav Amud Beis is all about the larger topic of Ase Dokalos Ase. So in there, the Gemara discusses Shabbos, and so on, and all the Rishonim had a certain difficulty, once again, because there would be, normally we think that Shabbos is an Ase and a Los Ase, and therefore the rule should always be Ein Ase Doche Los Ase V'Ase. So the Rajba quotes in the name of his Rebbe, in this case Rabbeinu Yonah, that the case in particular that the Gemara is speaking about in Yevamos happens to be Mechamer. Mechamer is kind of an offshoot of Shvisas Behema, right? but a more active offshoot. Mechamer means I inspire the animal to do malacha on my behalf. Right? Harisha, for example, to thresh. Right? I scream at the animal. I motivate the animal to do, to carry something for me. That's called mechamer achar behemto. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, you should know that mechamer is included in the lav, even though you don't get kares and skila for it, it's included, the makar for mechamer is osasa kavlacha, right, ata, right, and includes uvemtecha. So mechamer is included in the lo sase of Shabbos, the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah is, however, it's not included in the mitzvah sase. Meaning, in the Ramban and in the Rambam twice, we had the perspective that the assay is more expensive than the lot. And in the Rebbe of the Rajba and Rabbeinu Yonah, we have the perspective that the lav is more expensive than the assay. Right? Either way, they're not mirror images of each other. It's not simply lav or olav, the lav, ubase. So, and we can explain it. It's not that difficult to explain. What you might say is that mechamer, right, is technically considered to be a lav in the sense that it's like a remote control. Right, I'm doing some triggering, I'm stimulating, I'm motivating the animal to do malacha on my behalf, right? And that's technically under the rubric of the lav, associated with that action. However, you might say, it doesn't break up the shvisa of Shabbos, the ruach of Shabbos. I'm not doing anything myself. I'm sitting home, I'm wearing my nice suit and tie and, you know, whatever. So we'll leave it at that. I don't want to get in trouble. So whatever it is, I'm behaving, you know, in Shabbosic manner, you know, mitchila v'yatzot, right? And the animal is doing work for me. So maybe the assay of Shabbos I don't violate, right? The lav of Shabbos I violate. Now, again, you might say the opposite, and kind of that's what the Rambam was saying, when the Rambam said that Shvisas Behema and Shvisas Eved even, anything associated or connected with me, but you know, you might distinguish between Mechamer and Shvisas Behema. I'll just give you a very simple example without going into more detail, and that is that this is debated in the Rishonim whether Mechamer Achar Behemto applies only to an animal that he owns or even somebody else's animal. Shvisas Behemto and Shvisas Avdo depends on ownership. The animal or the Eved that, you know, is prohibited from doing Malacha, right, as part of the assay, is my animal, my Eved. But especially if you take the Mechamer Achar Behemto, it's any animal. Right, I have a way with animals, right? I can inspire them and motivate them. So, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's like remote control. I'm not doing the Malacha. I'm not, you know, my fingernails are not, you know, no dirt under my fingernails. But, basically, I'm doing the Malacha by remote control. Right? But there's no problem of the assay, because that animal's action, I'm getting it done this way, but I'm not doing it. Anyways, without, you know, too much difficulty, we could explain, you know, why it's so. But what emerges is that there are a whole group of Rishonim, or of the opinion, that either the assay is more expensive than the lav, or both the assay and the lav, right, have elements that are mutually exclusive of the other, and that we're dealing with two different themes, two different concepts. But then the question arises, and this is our next point, if there really are two dinim of Shabbos, so that would justify why we count an assay and a lav separately, because they're two different ideas. What is the relationship between these two ideas? We can call it the spirit of the day and the technical letter of the law of Shabbos. What is the relationship between them? Meaning, they are equal critical dimensions in the Kedushas Hayom, or one, well, for sure, the Isur Malacha, Lamites Avos Malacha, is what defines Shabbos and its Kedusha. In addition to that, there's also an additional mitzvah, a kiyum, possibly a bit below, say, certainly a kiyamah, say, of the Ruach Hayom of Shabbos. But it can't really vie, it can't really compete for centrality in terms of defining Kedushas Hayom. That sounds like a very theoretical question, but I'm going to try to give you some concrete issues that will highlight this next question and put everything we've done till now in a bit of perspective. You have a question? We didn't have a question. You're saving it for the car for next week.
No, I have a question.
Okay. Yeah.
This might be a little far-fetched, but Amir Lakim should be also in Yisur Lav.
Why is that?
Because it's Amar Domalech.
Or remote control?
Amir
yeah, the answer is because you...
Amir Lakim is Amar Domalech Hamor.
Okay, okay. But now when it comes to free choice. Now when it comes to free choice. That's the succinct answer. It's also a very deep philosophical answer, but not, you have to take my word for it. But yeah, not when it comes to free choice. Which has to do with, which impacts the tziruf back to you. As an animal can be controlled. Right. Anyways, so let's look at that next issue. So, let me highlight it in a couple of ways quickly. One is the issue of mumar l'chalas haShabbos. But the problem with all these issues are that, you know, there's more than one relevant, question. So let me explain what I mean. We already mentioned that mumar l'chalas haShabbos is a mumar l'chalas Torah kula. Normally, you know, if you violate a certain transgression in an area of halakha, so you violated it, and it's a terrible thing. If your mumar l'haches has wider ramifications, but all things being equal, a mumar l'tayavon, somebody who violates out of weakness and passion or pleasure, right, violates what he violates and doesn't violate anymore. There are some exceptions, particularly of avodah zarah and Shabbos. Mumar l'chalas haShabbos, mumar l'chalas Torah kula. Why? We already explained. Right, according to Rashi, he's makhish b'maisa b'reishis. Right, he's implicitly denying the creation. According to the Rambam, he's rejecting the bris, the oath between Kal Yisrael and the Rabbonu Shel Olam, the last Rambam and the Chol Shabbos, whatever it is. He's a mumar l'chalas Torah kula. Does this apply to any violation? It certainly applies to the Lamentas Avos Malacha, right? That's the core violation. But let's say he violated something smaller, relatively, a drabana, an acknowledged drabana, right? Is that considered to be mumar l'chalas Torah kula? Or draw the line somewhere else. Let's say he violated an iser klali that relates to Shabbos. With the evil of Sitei Nechshal of Shabbos. Give you an example. Comes up right in the beginning. We're going to be turning our attention in the next couple of weeks to the beginning of the Masechta in Yanim of Hotzah. The first Mishnah talks about different cases of Hotzah. My Mishnah starts off, if you just look at it for a second, this isn't our real beginning, but too early for that. Right, Yitzios HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. Okay, what does that even mean? That, there are certain cases of Yitzios HaShabbos, of Hotza'ah, carrying, right? There are all sorts of different scenarios. So there are two out of four inside, two out of four outside. And the Gemara explains, and the Mishnah already explains, that we mean somebody standing on the inside, we call them the Balabayas, and somebody standing on the outside, the Ani, and there are different scenarios depending on whether he does, if he does a whole Akira and Hanacha, he uproots the object and he puts it down, that's a full-fledged Hotza and he's Chayev, and that can be done in different ways. It could start from here and go to here, it could start from here and go to there, right? It could be done by the person from the outside or the person on the inside, as the case may be. There are at least four cases where you're Chayev the full Hotza or Hachnasa. And then there are other cases where you do half. What the half is exactly, Rashi thinks it's Akira, Bli Hanacha, fine. So the Gemara itself points out, on Daf Gimel, Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, there are not, Shtayim Shein Arbas, which is 4 of 8, there should be, originally the Gemara says there should be 12, and then the Gemara says there should even be 16. Right, if you look at the bottom of Beis from the Beis, the Gemara says, Omer Arbasa, Labaya, Hotzmani Habyon, Tartisrei Habyon. There are 12 cases. Should be not 2 of 4, 2 of 4, which is 8. It should be 12. Veli Tamech Shitzar Habyon. The Gemara says, well, if you're going to go 12, you might as well go for 16. Okay, what are these 16? I'm not going to go through the whole thing now, but what are the 16? Meaning, if you count everybody's role, meaning if you're counting Chiyuv and Mem to people who are violate the Doraisa, people who violate... who are potter, right? So the Gemara says, in the end, the Gemara says that, you know, we only count Bishlam above the Resha, potter mutter loktani. Above the Sefer, the potter of Alasar, kasha. The Gemara says, we don't count the ones that are potter and mutter. What's potter and mutter? Let's say, the Ani who's standing on the outside, just a paradigm. So he picks up an object on the outside, right? So he does an Akira. He breaks the plane, right? Not the flying one, but the line of Hayahed to Rishus Harabin. And he puts it down in Rishus Hayahed. That's Hanaka. So he does an Akira Hanaka. So the Ani is now Chayiv. He did a full Akira Hanaka. He's Chayiv Hotza. Right? What about the Balabayas who's standing on the inside? He put it in his hand. So he is Potter. The Gemara says he's not only just Potter, he's Potter Umutter. He didn't do anything. He did neither an Akira nor an Anacha. So he's Potter Umutter. So the Gemara says we don't count those cases. We only count the Potter Avalasas. We don't count the Potter Umutter. So if you look at Tosas here says, Vim Tomar, top Tosas on Gimel Amid Aleph. We'll speak more about it when we get to it. I might as well dip a little bit into. The Tomar HaKa'avar Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol. What do you mean? Why is he Potter Mutter? He violated a Din D'Oraisa. Right? Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol. If his hand wasn't there, then the Gemara says, Apilu Mayri Sheyachal Itlo Apilu Lo Yabiyado the Lover Mishum of Favor, and so on. The Gemara starts discussing, would there have been a Hanacha if his hand hadn't been there? Okay, fine. In the end of the day, the Tosfos Yeshanim on the side here, Aleph Osala. I have this in mind. I don't know if everybody has the same Gemara. Tosfos Yeshanim people have Inami Eshlomar to Mikamakom LeIser Shabbos Potter Umutter. Meaning, the Tosfos tries to labor to explain that it's really Potter, but there's no Lefnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol in this case, because he could have put it down anyway, and so on, whatever. And then the Tosfos Yeshanim says, there is Lefnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol. But what we're interested in is not an Iser Klali like Lefnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol, we're interested in a violation of Shabbos. And as far as the Shabbos violation is concerned, he didn't do anything. He didn't do Akira, he didn't do Anacha. It's Potter and Mutter. So, how come the other Rishonim don't like this answer? So this gets us into a complicated issue, which I'm not going to get into right now, for 2 seconds. And that is, the question that seems to be at work here is when you're dealing with something like Gitnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol. We have a similar question by Mar Sayin. Right? We don't have to say the same thing for both, but it's a similar question. When you're dealing with general principles applied to specific cases, to what extent, by the way I like to say it is, are they chameleon-esque? To what extent do they then become part of their context? Or do they remain universal issues? Is the Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol of Shabbos? Or is the Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol of Shabbos Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol? In other words, Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol have more of Shabbos have more in common with Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol of Macholos Asuros, or of some Iser, other Iser of Shabbos? That's the question we're asking. Okay. This is a question to ask about Mar Sinai. We talked about it some years ago with Reb Psachim. Talked about what's the din of Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mechshol of the Gimel Averos, right? We know there's a special status to the Gimel Averos. Right, murder of Odazara, Gili Arayos. About them we say, Yehareg, the Al Yavor. Right, you have to give up your life rather than violate. The regular din of Pikoch Nefesh, Bechai Bahem, Veloshi Amos Bahem, does not apply to these three. What about L'sneiva L'sitin Michal or Marisayin of the three? Do you have a din of Yari Vayavar or not? That seems to be a machlokes between the Balamar and the Ramban in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet on the base and the Gavat Gemara by Yahari Vayavar. There seems to be a major, major debate between the Balamar and the Ramban. Whether L'sneiva L'sitin Michal, and you have a parallel argument about Marisayin of the Gibel Averis requires the Harig Vayavar or not. In other words, is it an Yisr Klali, and the application is irrelevant, or it integrates into its environment? Oh, so if that's the case, you have this similar question about Lifneiver. Is it true to say that Lifneiver, Lissite Mikshal of Shabbos, is not a Shabbos halacha? So Rabbi Kiveger, in his Perush on the Mishnayis, here, the first Mishnah in Shabbos, says, well, if Lifneiver, Lissite Mikshal of Shabbos is a Shabbos halacha, so maybe there's another issue, or maybe the issue whether it is a Shabbos halacha or a universal halacha, right, will determine whether the din of mumar lechalal as a Shabbos mumar kol torah kula will apply to lifnei l'sitei nichshol of Shabbos. Meaning, if lifnei ver l'sitei nichshol integrates into Shabbos, right, just like if it integrates into the Gimel Averos, you have the din of Yari Vayavar, which is unusual. If it integrates into Shabbos, you'll have the din of Mumin L'Chalas HaShabbos, Mumin L'Chalas Tarakula. Right? That would be a huge... Therefore, maybe you need Tosis themselves, not Tosis Shanim, to try to explain there isn't any Lefeiver here. It's what we call, it's not Treiver Denari, you could do it anyway, and so on. Oh. Meaning the issue is, once again, where do you draw the line in the dinim? Mumin l'chalas Shabbos, mumin l'chalas Torah Kula is only in the chi of Misa of Shabbos. Only lamed tesavos malacha or any special Shabbos application has the implication of makhish from Eisa Bereishis or undermining the bris between the Ribono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. Or, I'll give you one just one other example. I mentioned Drabanan, one place to draw the line. I mentioned things like Lifneiver or Marisayin, Doraisas, but that are universal and applying to Shabbos. What about Laban of Shabbos that don't have a Chiyuv Misa? Right? Things like Tchumin, Arimid Rabbi Akiva, as we'll soon see, things like Lav, a Havar L'Lav Yatos, if Havar isn't L'Chalik, but Lav, I'll explain what I mean by that a little later, or Mechamer, where you don't get a Chiyuv Misa, you only get a Lav, will we say the dinner, Mumin L'Chalas HaShabbos, Mumin L'Chalas Torah Kula, and these are not. Oh. So just so I want to add, then I'll take the question, is what about the mitzvah asay of Shabbos? Some Achronim say, even if the other things generate the din of Mumin L'Chalas HaShabbos, Mumin L'Chalas Torah Kula, it's not so clear that the violating the mitzvah asay of Shabbos will accomplish that. Why? Because the question is, what role does the mitzvah asay, not what is its own ish, what role does it play vis-a-vis the law? How central and indispensable is it to the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos? That would be an important, possibly an important nafkamina if we could pin it down, but we'd have to pin it down relative to some of these other issues as well.
Yeah. What you say, listen, Eva integrates into a Chil Shabbos. That word integrate, does that really mean that one of the consequences of this Lifnei Eva? In other words, let me give a simple example. Someone's asked me a question, I give a wrong answer.
Right.
Impacts on a Chilul Shabbos, or impacts on the big three. So, is that what you're really saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Integrates?
I mean, doing it intentionally, of course.
Of the Lifnei Eve.
Right. What I'm saying is, Lifnei Eve, there's a debate between the Balamor and Ramban. If you're in violation of Lifnei Eve, L'Sitei Michshal, of Gilei Arayos, Shvichus Damim, of Arizara, right? I mean, you somebody puts a gun to your head and he says, violate the Fnei V'Lishitei Mechshol of one of the big three. Is that your Harig Vayavar or not? That's the debate between Balamor and the Rambam. Even though you're not violating the Ikar Iser, but you are enabling, not the Bnezid, of course, not the Shoki. Somebody asks you a question and give them the wrong answer by accident. That's not the Fnei V'Lishitei Mechshol. But if you intentionally mislead somebody in a way to trip them up in Hilchos Shabbos or in the Gimel Averos, what I'm asking is that a Lifnei Eiver problem, or does that become a Shabbos and Gimel Averos problem. That's exactly the issue. 100%. So Rabbi Knager says, Mumer L'chalas Shabbos, Mumer L'chalas Torah Kula may depend on that. So that's one issue. That's one example. A much more clear-cut example is the Gemara in Shabbos Samach Tesamen Aleph, which is in the sheets as well. Or you can look it in the Gemara. It doesn't make a difference. I think we mentioned, started mentioning this. And that is the concept of Zadon Shabbos, but I want to explore it more. Now, what is Zadon Shabbos? We have it in the sheets also, if you want to look in the sheets. We produced it here as well. This is the Gemara on page 2. You know, starting from line 17, or 15, 17, etc. That's the Gemara in Samach Tesamel. The Gemara here says, almost in the middle of the page, it's not, Avos Melachos Arbaim Chatzarachas. Now, 39 Avos Melachos. Vavinamba, the Gemara asks, Minyan Alamali. Right, it would have been enough for the Mishnah to say, these are the Melachos, and list them. Why do they have to tell us that's 39? Everybody knows how to add. Okay? So the Gemara says, what's the purpose? To teach you that the maximum amount of chatos that you can bring in one halama, in one mistaken stupor, you know, one stupor of Hilchos Shabbos, is 39. 39 chatos. That's the concept of chiluk malachos, which we'll talk about next week, probably, very quickly. So the Gemara says, Heichi Mishkachasla. How do you get 39 malachos, even the Helamachot? How is it possible that, the Gemara explains that we're talking about, you know, Zadon Shabbos, right? Vishigigas malach, Vizadon Shabbos, Vishigas malacha. It can only be you have some awareness of Shabbos, but you don't know any of the 39 of us malacha. Right? Every single one of them you make a mistake about. So the Gemara says, how is that possible? What do you mean, how is it possible? What the Gemara has in mind is, what do you know about Shabbos to qualify you as Zadon Shabbos if you don't know any of the Malachos? So basically, what the Gemara is really trying to analyze here, to put its finger on, is, right, to try to identify what is considered to be meaningful knowledge, right, which in turn establishes, you know, what is meaningful ignorance, right? You can only be as ignorant as you are knowledgeable, right? That sounds good. It's true in a way. Meaning, if you're too ignorant, then the specificity of your ignorance becomes insignificant. If you don't know anything about a topic, then you don't say, oh, he doesn't know A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Basically what you say is, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know this topic. Right? And that, breaking it down becomes, you know, unless you try to torture him or humiliate him, you know, but in terms of legal significance, too much ignorance, right, makes specific ignorance inconsequential. You have to be a little bit of a Talmid Chacham, you know, for your amaratzis, you know, to matter as discrete units. Okay, it sounds funny, but it's totally logical. Okay, so the Gemara basically says, if you don't know a single one of the Avos Melacha, what do you know about Shabbos? Meaning what? You heard of the platitude of Shabbos? What do you know about it that's meaningful? Oh, so the Gemara tries. The Gemara says, Bishlam of the Rabbi Yochanan, meaning, let's say you know, right, a certain topic, you know that it's prohibited, but you don't know that it's Bekares, you think it's only Balav. In other words, you make a mistake about the Onesh. So the question is, a mistake about the Onesh is a mistake about the Onesh. This is a fascinating question, really. Right? Or it's a mistake about the character of the Yisur. Right? But you could look at it in a very technical way. Oh, he doesn't know he gets this kind of Onesh, he gets that kind of Onesh. But if an Onesh characterizes, you know, the Yisur, Like Ein Adoma, Nisar Kares, or Nisar Skila, to an Nisar Lav, it's a totally different, it's apples and oranges. Is it apples and oranges, or is it just how much punishment you get? Right? So the view of Rabbi Yochanan was that Kivin Sheshogag Bekares, Apafisha Hezid Belav, Yechayev Achatas. It's considered to be a shogeg if you know that it's aser, right? Even though you think it's a lav, you didn't know it was a kares. And that, despite the fact that usually the chi of kares is a prerequisite for the kind of lav that generates a shkaga, generally is the one that is mechayev kares. So it's not just like, you know, a small matter. He happens to make a mistake about the level. We might say that this level mistake that he's making is critical, you know, in terms of his basic, you know, awareness of why or what it is that's awesome. Very fascinating, very subtle issues, but very fascinating issues. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine. Mishkachas otkon the other of the Shabbos Balav. He thinks the Lamatasam, he knows about the Lamatasam Balachas. He just didn't know about the Kares and the Skila. He thought it was just Balav, a little Malkus. No. Okay. That's Zadon Shabbos, the Shigas Malachas.
So that would generate a korban.
According to Rabbi Yochanan, that would generate a korban. Korban. But Rish Lakish says, no. If he doesn't know about the kares, then what he knows about the lav is not sufficient to be considered ishkaga. Right? So Yodel and Shabbos B'mayor. We're back to square one. What does he know to make his individual ignorance consequential halachically? Right? Fascinating question. So the Gemara ends up saying something equally just amazing. The Yada b'tchumen v'alivet Rabbi Akiva. He knows about the Isra of Tchumen, the Tchumen that's Asur min HaTorah, Rabbi Akiva's view that it's Asur min HaTorah. Wow. Really interesting question. Now this raises something, another issue. And that is it sufficient to have accurate, albeit peripheral, knowledge to qualify for Zodon Shabbos? I mean, he knows something. True. He knows something accurate here. Is that all you need, that he knows something accurate to be considered Zodon Shabbos and Shigas Malacha? That's to make his ignorance consequential? Or is the Gemara's view that Tchumen Alibed Rabbi Akiva isn't trivial knowledge? It's not peripheral. It's not accurate, but peripheral. It's like knowing, he doesn't know about one of these, sir, Lamatas Avos Malacha, but he has an idea of Shabbos by knowing Tchumen Alibed Rabbi Akiva. Oh, the Mainaf Kamina. Let's say he doesn't know Tchumen Alibed Rabbi Akiva, but he knows some other piece of accurate Shabbos information. Would that also qualify for Zodon Shabbos? That's, have we lowered the standard for Zodon Shabbos right here, that anything goes? Or do we think you need a certain critical, minimum, significant understanding? In which case, our alternative suggestions are all going to be weighed, right, in terms of their consequential, you know, quotient, let's call it. Ah. Right? So the Gemara says, so that's the Gemara. So Tosus here jumps in. Tosus says, the Yonale B'tchumin, everybody have that on the side. I have the Tosus printed on the page as well. Lomotzi Lamema, the Yonale B'diisi, Bahinami Chayev Chatos, Kiniprash and Perkam. I don't want to get into Isi Ben Yehuda right now. We'll have time for that. But Isi was of the opinion that there's one of the Malachos, we're not sure which one, you know, which is the Chatos, but it's not the Misa, some in between status. Fascinating. Right. Then Tosa says, Tabelari, and this is directly our issue, that my lo koma the other little Shabbos base. Maybe he knows that there's a nase of Shabbos, that there's a positive commandment to abstain from malacha on Shabbos. The ksiv of Yom HaShvi tishbos, right? Uksiv nami ushmartim of the Shabbos. Remember when I originally mentioned the mitzvah say of Shabbos, I mentioned that there's a debate what the source is. And I kept saying, Tosus and Samach Tes, or Ramban and Samach Tes. What's the Samach Tes? This is the Samach Tes, because the Rishonim here are asking this really important question. Is Yediyas Mitzvah Saseh of Shabbos without the Yediyah of the Lav, is that considered Zodon Shabbos or not? Okay. Now, If we conclude that when the Gemara said the Yadalei Betumen Ariba de Rabbi Akiva, what the Gemara meant was any accurate peripheral knowledge is sufficient. So then, you know, there's one way to look at this question. But let's say we go a step further and say, you know what? The Gemara obviously thought that even though Yada, even though Tumen Ariba de Rabbi Akiva is not the most important thing to know about Shabbos, it is a good sample of a kind of Isur Malacha. Right, it qualifies, it's enough quality knowledge to be considered Zonon Shabbos. Ah. So then the Rishonim were saying, and what about, let's say, Bambana and others, ask, what about the guy who knows about Mechamer? Right? Or he knows the Havar Lalav Yatzas, according to the Mandamar? Is that enough? But we're not interested in that right now. We're interested in the bigger question, all Rishonim. He knows about the Asay, he doesn't know about the Lav. Is knowledge of the Asay sufficient to create Zonon Shabbos? Now could be our question, which is, if there's an Asay of Shabbos and there's a Lav of Shabbos, right, that the Lav of Shabbos is central and indispensable, is the centerpiece of Shabbos, that's clear. Is the Asay comparable? Can it rival that? Can it compete with that? So this might be exactly the issue. Is it Zoron Shabbos? Now, Tosus does not answer the question. Maybe Tosus is Shitasah, maybe. That the Asay of Shabbos is simply the mirror image of the Lav. Remember, Tosus said, and even about, even the Gemara that said that Knivas Yerek, a Shavuos, is included in the Mitzvah Asay, Bali Tosus said, that's an Asmachta of the Alma. The Gemara doesn't really think that. On a Daraisa level, there's no view in the Gemara that thinks that Drabbanans are included in the Mitzvah Asay. Why? Minat Torah, everybody understands it's a lav or a lav baseh ubalav. It's a lav etes ofis malacha. So then, Tosus is saying, I don't see why. Right? If you think that you know that tchum and aliv Rabbi Akiva is good enough, then knowledge of the lav etes ofis malachos is a mitzvah say. Maybe that should be good enough too. But what's more fascinating is to weigh this question according to the Ramban. Because the Ramban, as we know, is a huge advocate. You can't write like the Ramban wrote in Parshas Emor so poetically about the spirit of the day of Shabbos and the Mitzvah Seh. It's hard to believe that according to the Ramban, this is going to be just peripheral information, right? So the Ramban addresses this question. You look here in the sheets on page 2. Kiddush Ramban Sechet Shabbos Samach Tesam Aleph, and the Ramban has 2 deos. Ramban says, Ad Shishkok Balav Shaba, Pirish, Ava Bishiyodea Isra Asay Shaba, let's say he knows the Mitzvah Asay of Shabbos, Kivin Shu Shogeg Balav Shkogai. In other words, the Asay of Shabbos is not enough Zadon Shabbos. Ahodak Shinu the Yadalai B'mai, who Kimna B'tchum and Alibid Rabbi Kiva, below Kimna the Yadalai B'asay, the Shabbason the Tishbos, Yishum the Iloyadale Balav Helem Zebizebiyadahu. That's the first day of the Ramban. Meaning, if he only knows about the Mitzvah Saseh and nothing else, it's not considered Zadon Shabbos. It's considered Shigas Shabbos and Shigas Malacha. Even though he knows that you're not allowed to do this based on the Mitzvah Saseh. Ulukaman Armina and Shinochai Balachas, Ukivin Lefrushe, Tamam, if you have Helem Zebizebiyadahu, you don't get 39 of us malacha because the bigger ignorance eclipses the individual small, not smaller ones, but the individual ones. But then there's a second day in the Ramban. The Eish Lefarish, the Lav Shabbat, Ainu, Isa Shabbat. Shu Savar Mutter. I the Samach Lakrad, the Tasanu, and Isa Shabbat, the Chinika. When the Gemara says originally that the Machokas from Yochanan Reish Lakish, let's say he knows that it is Asur, but he thinks it's only Balav, not Bakares. They didn't mean Dafka Balav. They meant either Balav. They meant that it's Asur. How it's Asur? It's Asur Balav. It's Asur. Meaning it's not Asur. They didn't know the accurate information that it's Asur in a way that should be Bechayev Chatos Bishkaga, namely that it's a capital crime. They didn't know that. They just know it's Asur. Whether they know it's Asur thinking that it's Balav or thinking it's Basay, says the Ramban, it doesn't really make a difference. But what's more interesting is the first day of the Ramban. Because the Ramban, of all people, should really think that Yediyas Haaseh is not considered Zadon Shabbos. Right? That's the question. So I always like to highlight it by the Ritva, I think I did mention. The Ritva asks the question, let's say you know about Kiddush, or you know about Seuda, and you know about Oneg Yontif or Oneg Shabbos, you know you're supposed to have a Shabbos meal. You know you're supposed to make Kiddush. You know you're supposed to light candles, like, which is a Kavod Shabbos issue. I've had people who know that. But you don't know any of the Lama Tesavos Malacha. Is that considered Zadon Shabbos, right, sufficient for Shigigas, to set the rest will be considered Shigigas Malacha, and you'll be Chayvah Kalachas Fiachas. So the Ritva says, that's what he addresses. Here. I hope I have it. Do I have it? Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's awesome also. The Yolah the Shabbos B'mai, Pirish, Ein the Deal of Shabbos B'Pnei Kiddush V'Avdala, V'Oneg Achila, Im Eini Odeya, Inyan Shvisa Samalacha Shehu Ikar. Then he adds, V'Gore Mazachira Shal Kiddush V'Avdala, V'Oneg Amachal, Al Shem Shavas V'Yinafash. So he says it's not enough. But I think what he's really saying is, that if, what is he saying? That Oneg Shabbos and Kiddush and Havdalah are trivial information, trivial knowledge, maybe, relative to not knowing Lama Tesavos Malacha, possibly. But I think what he's saying in the end here is that if you have somebody who has the big picture, he has an understanding of Lama Tesavos Malacha, right? He understands what Shvisim Shabbos is. And making Kiddush and having a Suda and having Havdalah are also vital pieces of information. They fill out the picture of Shabbos. But if all you have is the things that fill out the picture of Shabbos, and you don't have the core and essence of what Shabbos is, then you don't even have the things that fill them out. Meaning, Kiddush and Havdalah without Lama Tesavos Malacha is absent even Kiddush and Havdalah. So what I would suggest for the Ramban is that that's the idea as well. I mean, the Ramban is eloquent, even poetic, about the mitzvah of Shabbos, the spirit of the day of Shabbos. But that's in context of there being an awareness of the core and essence of Shabbos, of the Lama Tesavos Malacha. If you understand the Malachos, so then you can go beyond the Malachos to the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law always assumes the letter, right, but goes beyond it. But if you have no letter of the law, then the spirit of the law doesn't exist either. It's too fluffy, right? It's too amorphous. It doesn't have any concreteness. So the Ramban's idea that the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos, right, doesn't qualify for Zadon Shabbos should not be viewed in a vacuum. If you're talking about a Shabbos, right, where there's a concept of malacha, so then you might say that the mitzvah say is as important as the law in some respects. However, if we're talking about somebody who has absolutely no awareness of the lavin, for such an individual, the assay is, so he doesn't know the lavin, but at least he knows the assay. There's no such thing as at least he knows the assay. Knowledge of the assay is contingent upon minimum knowledge of the lavin. So that's what I really want to suggest for the Rambam. Because we started off by asking the question, how come the Rambam, if he really believes in Perek Chaf Aleph, Hilchos Shabbos, that Shvusim are included in the Iser, in the Asay, even though they're Drabanan on one level, right, they come under the rubric of violating the spirit of the day, Doraisa, on the other, so how come the Rambam waited 20-odd prakim to tell you that? That's pretty critical information. And he develops the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos right in the very beginning. But I think the Rambam always uses the fullness of Yad HaChazaka, right, to strategically, he uses strategically placed halakhos in order to convey concepts. That's my general view of the Rambam, of reading of the Rambam. I think he does it, I wouldn't say all the time, but he does it enough that the pattern, at least to me, is unmistakable. And this is a great example of it. Again, it's based on cumulative evidence. So I think what the Rambam did here was in that classic style. Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam speaks about only the Lama Tesavos Malacha. as if to say, the Aseh of Shabbos begins and depends upon, for its existence and its significance, the Lamed Tes Avos Balacha. The spirit of the law has to be an outgrowth of the letter of the law. And therefore, in Perek Aleph, Halakha Aleph, when the Rambam's defining it, first and foremost, right, the way in which you express the mitzvah Aseh, it's important to know this, it's vital to know it, is through the Lamed Tes Avos Malacha himself. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, Ramban believes that too. I mean, the Ramban, even though he has this beautiful expansion of the mitzvah Aseh of Shabbos, starts off by saying, whenever you violate Lamed Tes Malacha, you also violate the Aseh. This, by the way, in contrast to certainly with some of the Achronim, who say that if, for example, the Gemara of Kniv Asiarek, etc., if the Aseh of Shabbos includes things beyond the Lamed Tes Avos Malacha, maybe they don't include the Lamed Tes Avos Malacha at all. If you violate the Lamed Tes Avos Malacha, you violate the Lav, right? And if you violate the spirit of the day, you violate the Aseh. The Mar Tzchayas and the Chasam Sofer, a lot of the Achronim understood the Gemara about Kniv Asiarek exactly in that way. But the Ramban didn't. And the Rambam didn't. They start off by telling you that the Aseh is connected to the Lamed Tes Avos Malacha. Why is that so important? The answer is because without concrete, substantive, right, Chil Shabbos, the Malacha, Shvisa B'Shabbos, the concept of Malacha, there is no Aseh of Shabbos. And I would say that that is characteristic of the Halacha as a system. The idea of spirit of the law that is Novea, that's an outgrowth of the letter of the law, is a critical notion of Yahadus. But the idea that there can be just like an amorphous idea which doesn't express itself concretely in measured obligations or in measured prohibitions is something which is inconsistent with the Halakha's approach. The Halakha believes that there's something called a Maisa Mitzvah, there's a Maisa Veira, it's defined in a certain way, and then it goes beyond as a value. Right? But you don't skip, you never skip that step. And therefore, what the Rambam is telling us is that when you start off Hilchos Shabbos, the critical thing to understand, even about the Mitzvah Aseh, is that it's rooted in the Lamed Tes Avos Malacha. Then he discusses the Doraisas for many Prakim, and the Drabbanas are connected with them. Once you have that whole, once you've swallowed that whole perspective, so then in Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, and by the way, a Mitzvah Aseh, which is rooted in the Lamed Tes Avos Malacha, also expands to include Shvusim as well. The Dvarim HaMidvim, right, Lidei, or HaDomim, LeLamed Tes Avos Malacha. And then in Perek Chaf Dalet, Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam goes even a step further and speaks about the Dabar Davar, and Muktzah, Shelo Yehi Luchacha B'Shabbos, Ki Luchacha B'Chol. But it's all spread out, it's diffused in the Rambam in a way that you've absorbed. Now you know Hilchos Shabbos, now you know the Doraisas, now you know these relationships, and now it's time to show the expansion of it. So I think this also affects another issue, which I just want to mention, and that is the question of Nashim. Maybe we'll leave the details for next time, and then I want to speak a little bit about Yom Tov, and then about Issur Malacha. And after that, after that topic, we'll start the Hotzah. But you should just be aware, there's a major debate. I mean, everybody knows the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Mud Beis, the Gemara says, you know, based on Zachar v'Shamar v'Dibur Echad, that, you know, there's a Hekesh, there's a connection between Zachar and Shamar. And the women who are obligated to Shamar, right, are obligated as well to Zachar. And that's the whole discussion about the women being obligated in Kiddush, and so, basically, the idea is that women are pturos b'mitzvah seishas man grama, all things being equal. However, the connection between shmira and zechira is something which makes them obligated in zechira. So, if zechira means the mitzvah seishas of Shabbos, which is how the Ramban reads it in Parshas Yisro, so that's a major idea. If zechira means specifically kiddush, and it doesn't refer to the Aseh regarding the Malacha, so then it's an open question. So there's a major debate between the Chinuch and the Balei Tosus in Kiddushin in the Sugya Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama, that's Lamed Daled, regarding Yom Tov. Bali Tosa said the women are pturos from the mitzvah say of Yom Tov, and the Chinuch said women are obligated in the mitzvah say of Yom Tov. So here, once again, and I already mentioned the Ramban says something similar in Kiddushin as well, Amidalev Ramidalev, to what he says in Parshas Yitzro. But the point is, if we consider the Aseh of Shabbos to be something that is indispensable to the Kedushas Hayom, especially together with an awareness of the Lavin and a Shmira, scrupulous observance of the Lavin, then the idea that women would not be obligated in the spirit of the Yisr, only in the letter, obviously makes no sense. If this is part of the core of Kedushas Hayom, Shabbos is gender neutral, essentially. And therefore, you have to say kind of what the Chinuch says, which is that even if the same mitzvah is man grama, this particular asay is applicable to the women as well. However, if we think that the asay of Shabbos is an obligation, but it's something which is separate from and more peripheral than the lav, meaning it's a chiyuv. This is a chiyuv shofar on Rosh Hashanah and sukkah and lulav on sukkahs. And there's a chiyuv of Shvisa b'Shabbos on Shabbos, but the core and essence of the Kedushas Hayom and of Chilul Shabbos and of the definition of Shabbos is only the Lavin. So then the idea that the principle of Mitzvaseh Shesman Grama Nashim Peturos would apply even to this Mitzvaseh is something that is conceivable. Okay, we'll stop here, and next week we'll speak more about Yontif and about the Lav of Shabbos, and that'll bring us into Hotza'ah, which is a particular kind of...